Turn your Bibles to Genesis 22. Genesis 22. Hallelujah. I tell you, we can just go home right now. Blessed. This is the familiar story for many of us. The Lord directed Abraham to bring his son Isaac, who he had been waited all these years for, to sacrifice him on the mountain. So let's pick up this story, Genesis 22, verse 7. But Isaac spoke to Abraham, his father, and said, "My father." And he said, "Here I am, my son." Then he said, "Look, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering?" And you know, we got our babies dedicated today. This is hard to imagine here. And Abraham said, "My son, God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering." So the two of them went together. Then they came to the place of which God had told him. And Abraham built an altar there and placed the wood in order. And he bound Isaac, his son, and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. That is hard to imagine. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, "Abraham, Abraham." And so he said, Here I am. And he said, "Do not lay your hand on the lad or do anything to him, for I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me." Then Abraham lifted his eyes and looked, and there behind him was a ram caught in the thicket by its horns. And so Abraham went and took the ram and offered it up for a burnt offering instead of his son. And Abraham called the name of the place, "The Lord will provide." In King James, it says Jehovah Jireh. And if you look in the Hebrew, that's what this means, Jehovah Jireh. "As it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord, it shall be provided." Now, in the Old Testament, there's at least 16 names for God. And the names reveal God's character, reveal who he is. You've heard some of these names. El Shaddai, All-Sufficient One, the Lord God Almighty. Jehovah Rapha, what's that one? Anybody know? Lord, our healer. Jehovah Shalom, Lord is my peace. Jehovah Sitkenu, the Lord our righteousness. And then Jehovah Jireh, the Lord is my provider. The Lord will provide. So he is our righteousness, our peace, our healer, and our provider. Now that is under the old covenant. Well, we're under the new covenant. What does it mean for us? Well, Hebrews 8, verse 6 kind of enlightens us a little bit about, you know, provision for us today. Hebrews 8, 6 says this, "But now Jesus, our high priest, has been given a ministry that is far superior to the old priesthood, for he is the one who mediates for us a better covenant with God based on better promises." So we've got a better covenant based on better promises. And so certainly the provision is going to be worse or better. Amen. Now there's a lot of scriptures about provision in the scriptures. I'll just read one. Romans 8, verse 31, in the Amplified, says this, "What then shall we say to all this? If God is for us, who can be against us? Who can be our foe if God is on our side? He who did not withhold or spare even his own son, but gave him up for us all, will he not also with him freely and graciously give us all other things?" Provision is part of our covenant. To meet our needs, our wants, our desires, he is the provider. Now, last week, I talked about, we had an amazing service for our anniversary. And I just shared something that the Lord had shown me. And wasn't an open vision, but just saw in my heart two properties, two things of land. One was a smaller piece of land that was just full of fruit, just brimming with fruit. And another was a larger tract that was just, you know, the soil, fertile soil. And so I was asking God, well, what does this mean? And he was saying, this was our 22 years. The smaller tract here, and it's been fruitful. It's been abundant. It's been a lot of lives touched and impact. And then he said, this other tract of land is our future. And it will be filled with more fruit, an abundance of fruit. And talked about us entering into another phase of fruitfulness. And so I believe last Sunday was significant. And, you know, we introduced these different things about, you know, not, you know, new revelations, just a new way of communicating things. But I believe as a church, I think days are significant. And I think that was significant last Sunday. I believe we're different. Is it different as a church entering into a new phase? And certainly one of the scriptures to talk about a new phase is John 15. Talked about that a few weeks ago. About that he is the vine, we are the branches. About bearing fruit that remains. I mentioned, intimacy produces fruitfulness that leads to great joy. And God has that for us, fruit that remains. But there's another scripture that kind of goes along with this. Acts 4. Let's turn there. And these verses are not new to people, those at Good News Church. We've read these verses and talked about these verses many times, but there's always more. Acts 4, verse 32 says, now the multitude of those who believed were of one heart and one soul. Church and ministry and the vision that God gives you is not for one person, it's for a group. And the enemy, that's why he wants to bring division. And it's difficult to bring people together. But the Holy Spirit, with his help, we can do it. The multitude of those who believed were of one heart and one soul. Neither did anyone say that any of the things he possessed was his own. That's his stewardship. Our body's not our own. We're managers of God's assets. And for the church to have that mentality. But they had all things in common. And with great power, the apostles gave witness to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And great grace was upon them all, nor was there anyone among them who lacked. For all who were possessors of land sold them and brought the proceeds of the things that were sold, laid them at the apostles' feet, and they distributed to each as anyone had need. In a time of bearing fruit, in a time of greater ministry, it's going to lead to greater provision. So if we're entering into a new season of fruitfulness, we're entering into a new season of provision. Because what God has for us here at Good News Church and what he wants to do in this ministry and the people here around the world is going to take finances. More than what we've seen. And we're going to have to start expecting. We're going to have to start calling it in. We're going to have to start believing for more resources. And again, stewardship, wisdom to handle the resources. This is God's plan. And I like this. Great grace, great favor upon them all. And no one lacked. So we're entering into some new things here, some good things. And I want everybody to participate. And you don't participate just because you're sitting there. You participate when you get involved, when you believe, when you get your faith involved, when you get your obedience involved. When you listen to the Holy Spirit and when you're quick to obey. I wish it was just provision by association. But God looks at the heart. It's not just an outward, your body being present. My father-in-law, Susie mentioned her father 16 years ago yesterday, went to heaven. And he used to say this. He had a lot of the different phrases he would say. He would say there's two kinds of people. those you want to be like and those you don't. And you can learn a lot from both. Now, Barnabas is someone we want to be like. Let's look at these verses, verse 36. And Joseph, who's also named Barnabas by the apostles. They're always giving people names. You notice that? You know, and so if there's anybody here today, you don't like your name, come up front afterwards and we'll give you a new name. I kind of like that. They had these nicknames. And I like their nicknames. Barnabas by the apostles, which is translated son of encouragement, a Levite of the country of Cyprus, and having land, sold it and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. Now, this is a very interesting nickname. In all my study of these verses, I've never seen this and just saw it this weekend. This word encouragement is the word, Greek word, paraklesis. Now, we know about paraclete. We've talked about that. John 15 is the comforter, standby, strengthener, intercessor, advocate. You know, we've talked about that. That's the paraclete. That's to talk about the Holy Spirit. So this word, paraklesis, this word means inspiration, refreshment, comfort, and encouragement. So they gave him this nickname of Barnabas, and what a name. And I guess it represented who he was. And we need today some more Barnabases. We need people to be like Barnabases. Are you a Barnabas? Is that who you are? This is a guy that didn't hold back. And you read about him in the New Testament. He's all about kingdom business. He was generous. He was quick to obey God. He served the apostles. He went about strengthening believers. He used what he had. He used his giftings to build up the body of Christ. He was a giver. He was a life giver. So obviously he went through this process here. Somewhere along the way he got life. And then he grew, got revelation of who he was, and started using his giftings for the kingdom, and then he gave life. And so we can talk all day long about greater provision, but if we don't have more Barnabases here at Good News Church, it's not going to happen. Acts 4 is not going to happen until we have people that take leadership of who they are and follow the Holy Spirit. Now he was a Levite, and so part of his job is to handle tithes and offerings and to feed the poor and help the poor. But he came into the kingdom and got saved. And God began to change his life, and he got connected with the apostles. And God spoke to him about selling a tract of land and taking the full proceeds. Isn't that amazing? All of it. Not a tenth. Not part of it. But he took all of it and came and laid it at the apostles' feet. Quick to obey. Now here's a principle today. If you want to be a Barnabas, you've got to use what's in your hand now. Because so many people are like, well, one day I'll give that. One day I'll serve. One day I'll be a blessing. One day I'll reach out to people. One day. But that's not the mentality of Barnabas. It is using what's in your hand, what you, even if it's not fully developed, Start and do something with what you have. Give God something to work with. And as you're faithful in little, He will make you ruler of much. But you're not going to have the much until you're faithful with little. And so I think this mentality with so many people, well, one day. Well, for so many, that one day never comes. And then I've seen this, when the day does come, when the blessings do come, they don't use it for the kingdom. Why? Because of their hearts. This is all about your heart. Barnabas had the right spirit. And so I'm wanting more fruit for the kingdom. I'm wanting more impact. I'm wanting to have a place of great grace was upon them all. Great favor. God's great goodness, His blessings upon everybody, and for there be no lack. Wouldn't that be amazing? No lack. Is that Bible or am I making this up? And if we don't believe it, if we don't speak it, if we don't preach it, if we don't talk about it, if we don't hook up our faith with it, it's not going to happen. So I could speak these words about more fruitfulness in this tract of land, but if you don't get engaged, it ain't going to happen. Now, it may happen for good news, but it ain't going to happen for you. So this is a time to start opening up our hearts. Now, let me contrast Barnabas with some other folks. Let's keep on reading. Let's go over to Acts 5. Verse 1. But a certain man named Ananias, this name means Jehovah gives graciously. So he had a good nickname. He had a good name. But a certain man named Ananias, with Sapphira his wife, sold a possession. And he kept back part of the proceeds, his wife also being aware of it, and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and keep back part of the price of the land for yourself? While it remained, was it not your own? After it was sold, was it not in your own control? Why have you conceived this thing in your heart? You have not lied to men, but to God. Then Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and breathed his last. So great fear, I guess so, great fear came upon all those who heard these things. And the young men arose and wrapped him up. This is the young men, this is your job, arose and wrapped him up, carried him out and buried him. Now it was about 3 hours later when his wife came in, not knowing what had happened. And Peter answered her, tell me whether you sold the land for so much. She said, yes, for so much. Then Peter said to her, how is it that you have agreed together to test the Spirit of the Lord? Look, the feet of those who have buried your husband are at the door, and they will carry you out. Then immediately she fell down at his feet, same feet the offering was, and breathed her last. And the young men came in and found her dead, carrying her out, buried her by her husband. So great fear came upon all the church and upon all those who heard these things. So Barnabas gave what he had. He listened to the Holy Spirit. These guys held back. They gave something. And that should be something good, right? But they said they were given a certain amount. And then they brought just a part. So they were really kind of showing off, trying to pretend to be someone they weren't. Really prideful. I guess pride does come before destruction. Haughty spirit before the fall. Now, I'm not saying today that if you're holding back, it's hard to look at your faces Look around here. Anybody here holding back? And I'm not saying you're going to fall dead. I'm believing that won't happen. I don't want to have a ministry of carrying people off and burying them out in the backyard here. That's not a ministry I want to have. But I do know this. The people that are giving, the people are putting their heart into it, they're going to see fruit. They're going to increase. Those that are holding back, even if you're giving, they gave. They were provided for, but the blessing did them no good. It's not going to be fruit for the kingdom. And so I just challenge you, and you know who you are. This is between you and God. You know when you're half-hearted. You know when you're going through the motions. You know when God spoke to you and you're not listening. You know when you're quick to obey. You know when you're using your giftings for the kingdom. So today, if you're half-hearted, if you're withholding, I hope this is a day that you repent. And repent means turn and go the other way. Because half-heartedness ain't going to cut it. And I want you to be in on the blessing. So we start where we're at. We start with what we have, what's in our hands. We can't give what we don't have. But you are the one that determines the openness to God. And listens to him. Well, yeah, I'm listening. But then he tells me to do that. No. Oh, I don't like that. If we want great grace, if we want no lack, it's going to take a different mentality here at Good News. We're going to talk about it. We're going to preach it. We're going to expect it. Because it's got to happen. It needs to happen now. So we got to renew our minds, change our thinking. This right here is too important. Excuse me. Got distracted. This right here is too important to be half-hearted. The Great Commission is too important to be half-hearted. Making disciples is too important to be half-hearted. Sharing the gospel is too important to be half-hearted. Come on. Come on, somebody. Come on, let's put our hearts into things. Let's put our heart into service. Let's put our heart into giving. Let's put our hearts into being parents and husbands and wives. Come on, stop going through the motions. People are depending on us. The world out there, I mean, they're going to hell. And we're playing games. Playing church. Trying to look good. Excuse me for my nostrils are flaring right now. I'm not angry at you. I'm angry at the devil. Satan filled their hearts. They're in church. Satan trying to work in the church. Well, Satan's got no place at Good News Church. He's under our feet. He's defeated. And if he's anywhere in here, he's got to get right now in the name of Jesus. We've been given authority 2,000 years ago by the head of the church. And in the name of Jesus, devil, take your hands off God's property. You've got to go in Jesus' name. You got to have a fire in you. You can't play around with this. Too much is at stake. We got to get stirred up and maybe get angry at the enemy. Be angry and sin not. I need you guys to get stirred up. I need you guys to start leading. I need you guys to start using your giftings, what you have. I don't care about Good News Church, but in the world. Come on, everybody. Let's step out. Let's do something different. Let's get out of our comfort zone. Getting my workout in today. Because look, look at Acts 5:12. Who wants this? Acts 5:12. And through the hands of the apostles, many signs and wonders were done among the people, and they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch at Good News Church. Yet none of the rest dared to join them. I think we have that happening here. But the people esteemed them highly, and the believers were increasingly added to the Lord, multitudes of both men and women. So they brought the sick out into the streets, laid them on beds and couches. I'm just spitting up a storm today. That at least the shadow of Peter passing by might fall on some of them. Also, a multitude gathered from the surrounding cities to Jerusalem, bringing sick people and those who were tormented by unclean spirits, and they were all healed. They were all healed. Anybody in the house want that? So what am I saying today? That's a good question. I'm saying if we'll start giving, I'm not talking just about finances, but putting our heart into things. Remember 2 Corinthians 9, the cheerful giver? What happened if we went around encouraging people? Maybe you don't have any resources. What happens if we went around encouraging people, inspiring people? In our world, just given what we have, what can God do? So I just want to tell you today, the Lord will provide. The Lord will provide. The Lord will provide. The Lord will provide. And when anything comes against you, and again, not just in finances, but any area, you say that. You say it to God, you say it to the angels, you say it to the devil. The Lord will provide. The Lord will provide. Let's say it together. The Lord will provide. Now come on, put some oomph into it. The Lord will provide. He's Jehovah Jireh. The God who provides. He loves to provide. He loves to bless His kids. He wants to pour out His blessings upon you. I'm going to be a candidate. I'm getting my house in order. I've been doing a lot of repenting this year. I've done some stupid things. A lot of repenting going on. When I was in Nigeria, I mean, there was 20,000 people there, okay? This is what God told me. I'm sitting on the front row with all the speakers, and one of the guys was talking about repentance. The Lord said to me, I want you to go up there and repent. The platform. Oh, my goodness. I don't want to do it. And so, but I'm just like, okay, whatever He says to do it. So I go up there, and I am down. And I've got my rear end up in the air. And I'm just down in front of 20,000 people on TV. It's embarrassing. The flesh. And I just got down on my knees and I just began to just cry out to God and ask for forgiveness for just stupidity and stupid things and what in the world am I doing? And just seeing revival all around me, people getting saved and healed and just fruit abounding, hanging from the chandeliers. And I was saying, Lord, You spoke to me about going to 50 nations. You spoke to me. I mean, I will go, whatever. Not my will, but Yours be done. And I'm telling you, I mean, the time I got up, again, the guy's speaking, I get up and turn back. Then 2,000 people, I'm walking back to my seat, 2,000 people come forward and they get on their faces and they repent. I was just ahead of the curve here. Lord has been disobedient, not been quick to obey, got in the flesh. I want what he has. I want his best. So he may ask you to make some changes, and that's uncomfortable. But just know he's got fruit on the other side. He will provide. He'll give you the strength to change. He'll give you the power to change. And he'll bring, you know, people around you to encourage you and inspire you. Is this church willing? I believe we are. Said that last weekend. Good news, church, over the years, we've rose to the occasion. And I believe in this next phase, we'll do that again. Rise to the occasion. Turn to your neighbors and say, you will rise to the occasion. Turn to several other people and say, the Lord will provide. Tony, what are you going to say when the enemy comes against you about your finances?
He's got to go.
Right? What else? James, when the enemy comes against your family, sickness, disease, other areas, tries to come against this marriage?
Lord will provide.
Alberta, Lord, come, enemy coming against your family, trying to destroy and bring division. What are you going to say? So let's say to each other, the Lord will provide. Lord will provide. The Lord will provide. Martha, you better get ready. The Lord will provide. Janice, are you ready? Praise God. Let's stand, everybody.